Back on the Chad Hastie Show, News Talk 790 KFYO. Thank you very much for tuning in. We continue our look at Texas 2014. Folks heading to the polls right now. And one of the candidates, of course, that you can go and vote for is the incumbent in the U.S. Senate, Senator John Cornyn, joining me. Senator Cornyn, welcome back to the show. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Chad. Thanks for having me on.
Well, I appreciate your time today. I know you've been out. You've been traveling the state of Texas. You've been talking to all sorts of groups, all sorts of Republican groups out there. But you've also seen the criticism that is out there from whether it be the Tea Party, conservatives. What is your, I guess, your reaction to those who say they don't see you doing enough as far as conservative values, as far as fighting, I guess it would be the main argument I hear from those who are unhappy with your leadership in Washington.
Well, Chad, you in this business, you can't prevent people from saying things, even if they are untrue. And I would just say those who are making those criticisms have their own agenda, because those claims are false. Any objective look at my record demonstrates that I'm a Texas conservative, and my values are very consistent with Texas Republicans and conservatives, and that's why I expect to win this this primary. But let me just mention one other thing. You know, this is the strangest primary election campaign I've ever participated in. As I've traveled around the state to Reagan-Lincoln Day dinners, to meet with Republicans, like I was last night at the Republican Party headquarters in San Antonio, I have yet to run into any one of the seven people who are running against me on the Republican primary ballot. All they are doing is sending out mailers, emails, digital media, tweets, things like that, that misconstrue my record. So I'm confident that that voters will see through this, and that we'll win today. But you know, I hope everybody gets out and braves the weather and gets out to vote.
Well, let me ask you about a few issues that, of course, the Senate will be taking a look at, that you continue to take a look at. We have a story out today from Fox News, some other outlets reporting it as well, that we could see another delay in Obamacare. This would allow, I guess, insurers to continue to allow the insurance that Obamacare was said was not sufficient. They would continue to allow that after the midterm elections. At what point do lawmakers, you know, stop the president from changing a law that's already been voted on? And in fact, when Democrats have said you can't change the law anyway, yet they allow the president to do it.
Yeah, this president is the most lawless in American history, in my study of American history. It's really unprecedented. Unfortunately, when he's got Eric Holder basically covering his back, again, the most political attorney general we've had, somebody who's supposed to be the chief law enforcement officer of the country, then what that relegates us to is private lawsuits. And as you know, there are 100 different private lawsuits that are challenging Obamacare. I'm in the process of filing a friend of the court brief in one brought by a Houston position, and that's making its way to the Fifth Circuit. I joined a friend of the court brief with Senator Cruz, something that he authored in the Hobby Lobby case involving the contraception and abortion mandate. So unfortunately, this is where we are, but the best prospect we have gains in this area, Chad, are to win the election in November and get a Republican majority in the Senate. This is President Obama's worst nightmare, a Republican majority in the Senate and the House during his last 2 years in office, and that's how we will be able to rein him in.
If that happens, and according to polling right now, it looks like a very good possibility, and that's why you might see the president taking some steps on Obamacare. But if Republicans take back the Senate, if they keep the House, what can Republicans and what can Congress do to deconstruct what has already been done?
Well, of course, you know, if we passed a law repealing or defunding Obamacare, he could still veto that. That's
right.
The power he has under the Constitution. But there are a variety of ways, using the appropriations process, that we could make it much harder to implement Obamacare. And my view is that this thing is so bad that a lot of it's going to collapse of its own weight. None of the promises the president has made have proven to be true, whether it's if you like what you have, you can keep it. If you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. And he also promised that premiums would be lower by a figure of $2,500 for the average family of four. None of that's true. So I think a combination of what we would be able to do using the appropriation process, because the president can't appropriate money, and Congress can actually deny appropriations for different government functions, including regulatory overreach, together with aggressive oversight and investigations, I think that would put us in the strongest position to defang Obamacare leading up to the 2016 election, when I believe we have the best chance of getting rid of it and replacing it with one that makes much more sense.
Visiting with U.S. Senator John Cornyn, I have to ask you, what is your analysis on what's going on with Ukraine and Russia?
Well, unfortunately, it's not all that surprising. Vladimir Putin is an old KGB agent. He's an old Russian spy, and he thinks the worst thing that ever happened to Russia was the fall of the Soviet Union and the loss of these various republics, including the Ukraine and Georgia, that have now that now aspire to become a member of the West, particularly NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. So he is doing everything he can to take advantage of President Obama's wishy-washiness. You know, this goes back to the red lines that the president drew in Syria that he didn't enforce. Then he drew a red line with regard to Iranian nuclear aspirations, which nobody believes that he's really serious about stopping, because he's negotiating now in a way that allows roughly 20,000 centrifuges to continue to purify and enrich uranium needed for a nuclear weapon. So I think Putin called his bluff, and so far Putin seems to have the upper hand.
Is there any action the United States can really take towards Russia that will stop their rush into Ukraine?
Well, I think what we can and should do is we should work with NATO, which is the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. You know, it's 28 countries who have a common interest in stopping this kind of encroachment by an invasion, literally by Russia into independent republics. And then there's a number of economic and other sanctions that we could use to isolate Russia. There's also, I saw Secretary Kerry has offered them some loan guarantees, which would help them during a tough time with their economy. So there's no panacea, but there are a number of things we can, and I predict we will do, in an effort to try to isolate Russia and punish them for this invasion.
Visiting with the U.S. Senator John Cornyn. Senator, we appreciate your time today, and we wish you best of luck during this campaign time, and I know you'll be out there visiting with the voters as the day continues.
I will, Chad, and I hope everyone in listening to your show will get out there and exercise their right to vote.
All right. Senator Cornyn, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.